thank you for joining us on this all-new episode of Gameware Express, now on Spotify. My name is Adam Arender, and it is Tuesday, April the 30th, 2024. You are listening to episode number 293. Steven Martin back from sabbatical. How are you, sir?
I'm now on Spotify.
You are now on Spotify. How does it feel?
Digital. Feels good to be back.
Renee Martin, welcome to episode number 293.
I'm so happy.
Neil Bonham, are you happy?
Yes, and I've been on Spotify.
Whoa, back again. John Michael Carley.
I'm also here.
Wow, we got all of us back. Not only is that fun and exciting news that all five of us are back together again for this 293rd episode of Gameware Express, now on Spotify, we also have other exciting news that have been cooking in the background to finally share with the group. We have a live panel coming up at WasabiCon in just 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks, depending on when you're listening to this show.
Sure.
It will be Saturday, May 11th at 2:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time at the Sheraton Hotel in downtown New Orleans. We will be doing a very brief version of a live recording of that week's show. So if you're not there, you'll be able to hear it on Monday or Tuesday when we drop the recording. But if you want to hear it live and early, come join us at WasabiCon New Orleans, Saturday, May 11th at 2:30 p.m. at the Sheraton.
Now, Adam, for those who might not know, is WasabiCon a convention for different types of wasabi that we would sample and try out?
Oh, that's a great question, John Michael, you foolish fool. That is not what WasabiCon is
okay,
here.
Okay.
So WasabiCon is New Orleans' anime, cosplay, and gaming convention.
Okay.
And this is a podcast about video games.
Oh, that's what I've been doing wrong this whole time. Sorry, guys.
You've just been cosplaying the whole time, but this is an audio show.
Sorry.
And no one can see it.
All right, let me take off this Sora suit.
So this is the first year of WasabiCon in New Orleans. We've done previous live shows at MechaCon. Rest in peace, pour one out for MechaCon. But now we have a new anime and fandom convention in New Orleans with WasabiCon. And we will be there Saturday, May 11th at 2:30 p.m.
So exciting.
I know, right?
It really is.
I'm speechless.
It's our first like public appearance like this since COVID. Like, it's been a number of years since we've been in front of people doing the show. So come out and hang out. Come listen. Ask a question. We'll be doing live Q&A at the end with audience members. So you don't have to email the show at gamewareexpress@gmail.com. No, no, no. You can just come hang out
show
in person.
Email us live.
Don't you want to come hang out with us for a whole hour? We're so cool.
That's right.
As great as we are on the internet, we're even better in person.
Truly.
So come hang out at our panel Saturday, May 11th, 2:30 p.m. One last piece of housekeeping before we get into our intro question this week, brought to you by the lovely Renee Martin. What's that like fake Miyamoto quote that a rushed podcast is bad, but
it prints money.
A delayed podcast is good eventually?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think that was it exactly.
That's exactly what it is. So we need a couple more weeks before we get you that Persona 3 Reload spoiler cast. Looking to get that out mid-May. What do we say? Friday? The
something like that.
17th? 18th? Something like that.
You'll know it when you see it.
Turns out, Persona 3 is a very long video game. So, giving ourselves a couple more weeks so we can get that wrapped up for y'all. So many exciting things coming down the pipeline. But for tonight, episode 293, I'm going to pass it to Renee for this week's intro question.
Yeah, tonight I want to look back into the past and just think about how cool it is that we have gotten to experience all of these new generations of consoles. Every time that they come out, there's like I don't know, they're just more and more incredible every time. So my question is, what do you remember, like specifically from a generation of consoles? Like, what is something, whether not just a game necessarily, but just like a graphic or something that you really were just amazed by whenever in that next generation, where you like, oh my gosh, this is so different and cool. This is a really neat little graphic effect, or this model looks great, or, you know, just what is a game or part of a game that really amazed you as, you know, the generation turned?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I've kind of shared this answer before, so I'm going to give two answers.
Ooh, yeah.
I've shared my Christmas story before when I got my PS2 for the first time, multiple times on this show. Mm-hmm. And I've said before, the thing that blew my mind going into that generation was, A, loading it up on Christmas, and the announcers being like, hello, Merry Christmas, knowing the date and knowing that it was Christmas. And then also just, again, the way the graphics improved, where you could see the reflection of the Superdome lights, like the ring of lights on the players' helmets.
Just like in real life.
As the field would get torn up during a game, whereas before it was just like always green. Now if you like the middle gets more torn up if you're playing on a natural field, or if you're playing on turf back then, obviously not. But that like was so cool. And then similarly, it's sports games for some reason leading the charge for me. But it was 2005, and there is that NBA, I guess it was 2K5 commercial for the Xbox 360 of Shaq just sweating.
Oh yeah.
And you're just like,
I remember that,
all that sweat physics is what you can do now on this Xbox 360 console.
They went way overboard with the sweat.
So much
nobody sweats that much.
Sweat was the particle effects of today.
it was like dowsing off of the players.
I mean, to be fair, Shaq's a sweaty guy. So.
He's a big, large man. He plays basketball. But yeah, that is pretty funny. But then also like part of that generation, just going from like a tube TV that's like still behind Steven right now in my house to an HD TV during that generation and being like,
yeah,
oh, I can read all these words in Assassin's Creed now. Like, oh, wow, I can see what these symbols are. Just like, that whole evolution growing up with that, whereas I feel like we don't have those many graphical leaps now to point to like we did in that like early to mid 2000s kind of lead up.
Yeah.
So there's my overextended answer for your question.
You know, I was like for months in 1991. Just like fiending to get my hands on a Super Nintendo.
Okay. So we're in the same spot here.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead. It came out like in September of 91. And I think only one kid in my class actually had a Super Nintendo around launch time. His name was Billy.
Oh, no, right? Son of a bitch.
Anyway, you see commercials on TV showing Super Mario World footage. And I don't even think at that time in my life that I could find like a kiosk. I don't remember playing a kiosk version of Super Mario World. I'm sure it existed.
Too rare.
But I mean, I'm 10, and I can't tell my parents, hey, I need to go to the Super Nintendo kiosk. But what blew me away in the advertisement for Super Mario World was just the fact that it had these see-through, I'm thinking of?
Transparent.
Transparent pixels. It's so simple, right? It's such a simple thing, but like, I'd never seen that before. It was a brand new graphical effect, at least to me at the time.
Sure.
And I was completely blown away by that.
Yeah, I remember being blown away by like just how they had like the background. Like there was two backgrounds. Like
Parallax.
One moves slower than the one.
Or the front. The clouds could go by. Yeah.
Mario it was like even further back.
You know, Mario is like scrambling across this fence, and there's Koopalings on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, and it swaps. See,
you
can go on the other side.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah, I agree. It took me way too long, that's probably my answer too, to figure out that like the original Nintendo was like right before the Super Nintendo. Like when I was younger, in my brain, the original Nintendo was just so old, right? Because when the Super Nintendo was like, how could you have advanced graphics so much from like these tiny like you know few pixels into what this powerhouse is today?
Yeah, the color alone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, you know, as we get older, we've seen more technical leaps, but to answer the question, at what point in my brain did that click that like, wow, this is a better iteration? Like,
yeah,
oh wow, we can see a huge improvements between these two like consoles.
Yeah. I think for me, being younger and playing stuff like Zelda, Link to the Past, and the ones on NES a lot, like pretty much a memory that just strikes me, which, you know, I had a PlayStation for like a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I had seen like some 3D graphics and cool games, but Man, Christmas 98, when I got my 64 and Ocarina of Time. It's like just still one of those games where like every time I play it, I'm just like brought back to that time period. Like I just feel like a kid every time I play that game.
I think if you put the Ocarina of Time cartridge in your N64, even now, and if you immediately skip to the title screen, you should be locked in jail. I think if you don't just take a moment to watch that intro with the music and Link and Epona, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's too good not to.
It's the first song on my son's sleep playlist.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Very cute.
My, it's the first one I don't have too. A child, but my entire sleep playlist is just the Crazy Taxi soundtrack. Like, I don't know if that would work very well, but I do love that music.
Yeah.
I'm sure there is probably on Spotify. There's probably like a nursery rhyme version of just about any.
So everything on his playlist is from TPR, if y'all have heard of him. But he does like piano renditions of songs.
Oh, cool.
So it's all just like.
So you can get the Offspring music, but a piano version. I'm not surprised. And then really, my second secret cheating answer is the Sega Dreamcast, right? Because that was the first time.
Yeah.
You that was the first time in the history of video games, other than the Nintendo, which was cheating because they just put Nintendos in the arcade. But what I'm getting at is that the Dreamcast was the first time that you actually had arcade quality graphics in a home console.
Yeah, you had this cool like hand drawn art in a game like on the Dreamcast that you didn't see ever before, like in like fighting games and stuff.
I mean, you were literally playing the arcade version, like you were playing you were playing Naomi games. In Naomi hardware at home. It was the exact same hardware.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat 4. So good.
Oh, man. First thing I remember booting up on Dreamcast is Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur, yeah.
Like,
You know, before the Dreamcast came out in the States, GameWare, we had a bigger CRT, and then we had an import Dreamcast hooked up to that thing. And for, you know, a year prior to U.S. launch, it was just Soul Calibur on that television. And I guarantee anyone that came into the store was taken aback by that. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
This is not a PlayStation. Witchcraft. What is this thing? Why does this look so good? Well, it's Dreamcast. It's coming out soon.
The wire comes out of the bottom of the controller.
That's right. Well, not if you put your... You could route it. There's a little notch back there.
Yeah.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So then you're shortening your length.
I mean, you know, you should probably sit very close to the TV anyway.
Less in the way.
Well, my answer is actually also Ocarina of Time, but not necessarily because of how it looks, although it is because of how it looks. Because I actually did not get to play Link to the Past on Super Nintendo. That wasn't one of the games that was in my like brother's box of Super Nintendo games he let me borrow. But my first Zelda game before Ocarina of Time was Link's Awakening on the Game Boy. And not even like the DX version or anything like that. It was just the base version. So I went from, you know, the top down, like very limited colors.
Green and black.
Green and black to Ocarina of Time. And I thought that like the, you know, of course, like it looks beautiful, but how you like move in that game too, and the sound effect of like Link's boots, like hitting like different, you know, the ground, like the grass and everything,
and the
water.
Grass
and also like how it handles, how you control like what you see, like being able to just hit the Z button and like being able to like view around corners and stuff like that.
Snacker camera.
That's so cool. Yeah. And I never would have thought of something like that, but I knew it would have like frustrated me if I didn't have a way to do it. So I was like, wow, that this is like in this game that they've thought of everything.
Innovation.
So yeah, Ocarina of Time was the game that just blew me away. Like wow, I have such a more powerful console now. Like, this is so cool. Yeah.
I like the debug version of that game where the Z targeting tutorial is actually against an R-Wing from Star Fox.
Oh, perfect.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like you just fight one of those.
That's funny. I mean, you say Ocarina of Time, which made me think of another like big gaming step. And I'm just curious, what's everyone's thought when the 3DS came out? Like having that like 3D in your hand without glasses.
I would guess that we all had the same thought of this is neat and we'll never use it.
I do this since the day the 3DS came out. I've always done the same thing of every game. It's like I turn it on, I say, "Man, this is cool," for 5 minutes, and then I turn it off.
Yep.
That was, I only thought of the 3DS because that was my first playthrough of Ocarina of Time. It was on the 3DS version. Oh, wow. So
maybe the best version of the game.
It is. It truly is.
You just hit the boots with the touchscreen. So easy.
Yep.
I guess I'm weird. I never turned the 3D off. I always left the 3D on.
Yeah. On the newer systems, it's not bad, but on the original, it's just like...
Well, you got to find that sweet spot, baby. Because it doesn't track your eyeballs like the newer model.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the kitsiness of the...
I like that it's...
the 3D
it's
air,
cool.
But after a while, I'm just like, just...
Also, I'm like half blind now because of all that.
That is true.
So, don't let your kids... don't let them stare at the 3D.
Do you remember what the first game you saw in that 3D effect was?
I mean, it would have been at E3.
That's
so whatever.
Say,
yeah.
I remember what mine was.
Okay. What
it was that like owl game that was based on the owl movie.
Oh, the
Guardians of the
Guardians of. oh, no.
because, okay.
Galaxy.
Remember, they only let us in. You were there, Neil, right? Was that you? Was
I don't think
you?
I was there.
Remember the 3DSs were chained to the women?
Yes, that was. Yes, we were. That was outside the Nintendo.
Like a briefcase,
press conference.
Like,
that must have been the year after they came out. Because the year like before
I think you're thinking
out,
of 2010, because I didn't go until 2011. That was me and you, Neil.
Oh.
I think you're thinking of 2010.
See. Yeah, because
well,
it was like...
I went to 2010.
We had to wait in a line, and then they let us in. They're like, y'all have 10 minutes.
Oh,
but there were already people at everything.
You went to the one, the
like,
only one where
well,
no one was playing.
This is the only thing that's open, and it's fucking out.
See, now I'm remembering the room that shoved
to, like,
us into.
Up, basically. Yeah. And we were kind of like above.
I don't know what I looked at. Maybe it was just
I think
not
you
a
got
game.
To look at something cool, and I was like, I just got to look at the owl.
Why didn't we just trade? Like, let me do the
owl.
We owls.
Split up.
You only had 10 minutes. You probably didn't even know what you were looking at till the end.
That's bullshit. 10 minutes.
Write him a letter.
Not enough time.
When I waited in line 6 hours to try the Wii, there was no time limit. You could stay in there as long as you wanted.
Six
to.
That's
hours
why the line was 6 hours.
That's a good
we
point.
We got extra time for the Wii U because they closed off the line right behind us. And then one of the like booth babes or whatever, I guess, that had access like was like, hey, y'all follow me, and like just brought us right around
to the VIP line, which was empty. So they're just like,
So they just let us play for like
now I know what to
20,
get you
30
for,
minutes or so
for your birthday. Guardians of the
Ghouls. I don't know.
Guardians of the Gabagool.
Guardians.
The salad comes on. If the salad comes on top, the owls attack.
The guardians come on the side.
If the 3D is on the top of the system, I send it back. It's supposed to be on the bottom.
Gotta be on the bottom.
Oh, wait, it's on the top.
It's on the top.
Send it back.
Send it back. It's going back.
Thanks for that question, Renee. That was really good. If you want to email us intro questions, that's totally on the table, guys. GameWareExpress@gmail.com is that email address.
Try and stump us.
Let's talk about Stellar Blade.
I mean, Stellar Game.
Hot new release. From last Friday. Got to play it some this weekend. I've been playing some of it. I know, John Michael, you've been playing it.
Have. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of it.
Anyone else?
I played like the same amount of the demo that I played.
You can skip that part.
It didn't ask me if I wanted to skip it.
You didn't finish the demo.
Well, I guess I just turned it off at some point.
Yeah, does the demo lead up to like the title screen or?
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
That was an intense opening.
Good. Yeah.
Was it?
It's an opening.
I don't.
The arm is gone.
I don't think that
I don't
game,
remember any tips.
I don't think Stellar Blade gives a very strong first impression. Mm. Coming from a character action point of view.
I would actually agree, because it took me a little while to actually love this game. I'm loving it now.
I'm sure there's cool shit in there.
It's a slow burn to start, for sure. I'm like, I don't think this combat's working for me. Like, this
was
is...
it the timing of the parries, or just the...
Yep, I couldn't get it, but... Again, it's one of those games where it's like, you know, just, I don't know, it's Souls type thing where get good.
And let's talk about that briefly. This is much less of a Bayonetta and much more of a Sekiro.
I should have played the demo because they got me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I was like, wait a second, this is just a fucking Souls game, isn't it?
No, it's not a Souls game.
It's not.
Because it's more.
It's a Souls-like.
Yeah.
It's a Star Wars Jedi
it's closer to that.
Yeah,
yes.
It definitely feels closer to that.
It's definitely very
it's a
focused
Souls light
on the parries, the counters, the dodges.
So like Sekiro.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Oh, I agree.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Yes, but
the worst From Software game.
Yes, actually, definitely. But
in the modern era of
it's not as obtuse as Sekiro gets. Like, everything's very manageable, and at this point I'm like, I
get the combat. If I mess it up again, it's like, that's on me. I should have been ready for that. Like, you know, enemies telegraph their attacks pretty easily at this point. So it really is. I do think that they showed this off as like a Bayonetta type game. And it's not quite what this is.
And that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just go into it with different expectations. I think that's your expectation.
Because it took me a little bit to be like, okay, this is kind of cool, because I was trying to just like, square, triangle it through it like a Bayonetta game. But then it's like, I have to dodge. I have to parry. Yep. Oh, I rested this campsite and now all the enemies come back. Is this, this fucking Souls game? Like, what are we doing here?
Souls-like.
See? Not a Souls-like. A soul's light.
Stole pieces from it.
This is more, it's more like a Stellar Blade.
Time. Yeah, I think it's
like Stellar. It reminds me of Stellar Blade.
Yeah. Like Ninja Blade?
No, that's another From Software.
It is.
Stellar Blade, developed by Shift Up Corporation.
Korean.
It's a Korean company.
It's a KRPG.
A KRPG? Yeah, I guess so. I've never.
I think the South Korea video game development is on a hot streak, because Liza P, another South Korean developed game, is one of my favorites from last year.
Yep.
That's true. How are you feeling so far in your brief time?
I feel like it reminds me of like a 360 game.
Really?
In the first area that I'm in. It's very flat, you know, and I'm just walking slowly towards... And again, I'm sure if I go further than 25 minutes into the game, I'm sure it'll be different. It just reminds me of that era, what would you call that, 6th gen? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that I kind of agree in like a positive way. There was a time I was playing it, I was just in an area, I'm like, this feels like a game I would like rent from Blockbuster, but also not sleep for the entire weekend, because I was so like caught up in playing it and finishing it in that weekend.
Mm-hmm. So like Bullet Witch.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually very analogous to this.
I haven't thought about that game in a while.
Kind of true, actually. But go play a little further. The game definitely opens up.
I'm planning on selling my copy tonight.
Oh, well, so, you know. Yeah. It's probably also a good idea, too.
No, I pressed the pause button and got to the, I don't know, it was...
The menu?
The menu. Yeah, that's what we call them these days. Like, well, no, but there's like a skill tree, and it's all lit up with shit. I'm like, I don't think I earned any skills. Why do I have all this stuff already?
Because it's like punch.
Yeah, it's
is
like
that it? But there's like 40 of them.
Yeah, there's like jump.
Yeah.
Okay. There's 41.
I think one is jump.
That's but on the skill tree.
It is. It's like attack and heavy attack.
So you already unlocked
dodge,
it.
But then you get like super dodge later on.
Oh, I need that.
You're going to upgrade your dodge and parry.
That guy's going to come back.
Yeah.
That guy.
He might. Yeah. Mr. X.
Yeah.
And then also, I guess one of the pieces of this game is you unlock different outfits.
You do.
And
that has the internet very upset.
Yeah, but that's because the internet's stupid. Yeah. because it changes nothing to the game, but it is like a fun, like...
Wait, my pre-order outfit makes me feel so cool because it is red.
That's the thing. As opposed to green. It's just, it looks fucking cool sometimes. Like, you get a new outfit, you're like, well, this is badass.
Do they have like different like attributes?
No.
They like, oh, so
I didn't think it was going
cosmetic
to be like that. Yeah, I thought like if I got like, you know.
Yeah, like even something like this suit does plus 3 attack.
No, you'd think so.
This
but
suit does one
this
more
one
extra
includes
jump.
Glasses.
Well, you get ooh different glasses. You can unlock different glasses.
So,
or sunglasses.
What you're
the fog of war is gone.
You're saying these costumes are much more akin to something like Dead Rising.
Yes,
they're not
where
affecting
it's a fun,
my.
It's a
just
fun
a fun
piece,
time.
And like, but like, I think I like that more.
Yeah,
and that like, I think I'm a little bit more excited when I get a new outfit. Like, I just want to see what it looks like.
Especially when you walk
cool ones.
Walk into a cutscene wearing
exactly. Yeah,
like a character's head instead of your own.
I have got a really cool one that's like
Lego
a yellow tracksuit like Kill Bill.
Oh, that's cool.
But like cool and like futuristic and modern too.
Nice.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing I would be like, so this is the outfit I'm going to use for boss fights. And this is the outfit I'm going to use for mobs.
I'm like, what do I need? I'm in the desert right now. What would be appropriate to wear in the desert? Like,
this is John Michael's dress up game.
Yeah, it is.
This maid outfit.
Right now it's jeans. It seemed practical and fun.
I was going through all like the options because I always have to invert my controls as I do. And I'm really curious everyone's selection on this option for ponytail length.
Okay.
So you can choose between long ponytail and short ponytail.
In the demo, I chose short.
Oh.
Because long look like shit.
Yep.
Now listen, You can change your hairstyles in the game, too. So I'll say the ponytail should kind of also reflect the hairstyle you can update later on. So that is an option. You have more hair options as well. I did go with short because I now have like a shorter, like something closer to a bob going on now as well. So
there are
with
your jeans. Spiky mohawk option.
No. That'd there's be cool. Like a cool tussle look as well, you know.
Long dreadlocks.
Yeah, no.
That's like my Saint Row character.
Yeah. No, it's just, you know, various Asian hairstyles. Like
short dreadlocks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But for real though, what is everyone playing on the graphics versus performance slider?
I didn't know that was an option. What's the default?
Yeah, what is,
It seems performance.
Yeah.
I don't know what the default is. I have mine on graphics.
I'm pretty sure it's performance.
Demo, I went with 60.
Mine?
It ran very, very good.
It looks like it's running 4K. I don't know.
Well, I think this is...
Well, because that's... Okay, this is why I ask. Because this is the first time I've noticeably like went ugh when I went from the graphics mode to the performance mode because I thought it looked like shit.
You should play Rebirth
as opposed to looking really, really, really good.
Honestly, I don't even think that gets much better on graphics.
On graphics,
but 16 is that way.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I think I played 16 on
looks incredible 34K.
Yeah. So I'm playing. What I'm assuming is 34K. 4K 30.
34K.
Because like when I switched it over to run at 60, it did run better, but like everything just looked flat and muted and boring. I don't know. Like it looked much more vibrant and better on the graphics mode. But yeah, it definitely ran not as great. But I'm also coming off playing Crisis Core, which looked and ran like shit. So like it's either way, it's the bar's about the same. Exactly. Before I go back to playing something
that
ran
better. Like shit.
Yeah.
I mean, look like shit.
Were you playing it on a PSP?
Yeah. 45-minute load times.
PS5 version runs at 4K 60.
It still looks bad.
Well, yeah, because it's a PSP game at 4K.
Have you played Midnight Club?
It runs amazing, though.
PSP in 4K. Does not look good.
Can't wait. Yet. Well, this is also, I don't think we touched on it, this is a PS5 game.
Yeah,
I
know only PS5.
Talked recently about how like they need to start making just PS5 games, and they did with this one.
But I mean, I think it looks really good. Like the character models look great. I think like the action looks cool. Yeah. Like I said, I have it running at not optimal frames, but I think it looks better.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. Y'all go play the slider. There's three options.
I'll go check
you know, there's out. Graphics, performance, and like the middle ground one. But yeah, I thought it was a noticeable hit going down to performance mode. So if y'all are already in performance mode, then y'all are like obviously happy with how things look.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun.
I'm only a couple of hours in, so not much else to talk about now. We'll report back.
Yeah, if y'all dip in further, I'm sure we can discuss to a deeper level next week.
Does anyone know how long this game is supposed to be?
I've been playing for a while.
It's like 30 hours, maybe 30 plus.
Let's say
I think the story might be.
Well, if you can trust what the PlayStation menu said, I'm at like almost 2 hours, and I said I was 5% complete.
Okay, but there's also like a shitload of side quests. And like a lot of exploring and stuff.
I never know if that tracks like if you collect all the shit or just the story.
That tracker is just story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It is main.
So well, then I'm 5% done. Missions. Okay. But yeah, no, there's a ton of like exploration to do.
Gotcha.
I love exploration.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a hub world or a hub area.
There is a hub that you go to.
Can I decorate things?
Your character. Okay. Actually, I don't want to ruin too much. Yeah. But it's not so much decoration, but like this hub is like, you know, pretty organic and like as things progress. So.
How's the story?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's I like a weird story. And this is kind of weird. So it's got like quasi. Like religious tones to it.
The demo gave me like some Nier vibes.
Yeah. Well, funny enough,
robot AI agents being sent in to neutralize something, and
this does feel very Nier. And I think it's I know it's the same people who did the music for Nier as well.
The music is really good.
Yo Katara said the other day he was praising Stellar Blade, and he said he could never make a game as good as this.
That's
pretty high praise if you're making, you know, that style of game.
Yeah, it's huge.
Damn, maybe I have to get it now.
Yeah.
The music is really good when you're like running around.
Running around when you're running around.
Lastly, Stellar Blade.
you're like running around the city and it's like raining and it's all like fucked up and dystopic, and then just like this music like swells up into this like epic score as you're like fighting these things. It's just like the music's very good.
There are moments where it's like semi like Persona-esque music too. Mm-hmm. Like the music slaps. It's yes. So good.
So should I turn off my Joe Rogan podcast while I'm playing this?
Also on Spotify, just like us.
I know that you can never do that. You should just make it your lullaby playlist.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. It's not a podcast game. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
John Michael, what else have you been playing this week?
You know, I dipped my toe a little bit into Eowyn Chronicles as well.
Nice.
Yeah. This is, you know, I'd been kind of looking forward to this a little bit. Didn't really do much research before jumping in. I just knew it was like, you know, Soikiden. It is. That's exactly what it is. If you've ever played a Soikiden game, this is just more of that.
What if I haven't? Like,
okay, well, it's a JRPG game, and you collect a bunch of characters to join your party.
Is it turn-based or active combat?
It is a turn-based system.
I'm in.
This is with a six-party setup.
That's so a lot. Okay.
You have six people in your party.
That's kind of a lot.
For combat. It's awesome. And then there's actually more slots for support as well. If you have 100 characters, you want to be able to, like, I don't want to be like three dudes that I can only use.
Okay, 100 characters is a lot. I thought managing 8 characters was a lot in Octopath Traveler, but 100.
You have 100 characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, some of them you just have to like never talk to.
That's going to just inevitably happen.
I'm sure some of them are like specifically support characters, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Some are like meant to go in your little like city or whatever.
Yeah, and
I imagine it's a lot like something like Chrono Cross where it's like, yeah, there's a lot of characters, but as far as them having like fully fleshed out stories, like not so much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
like there's certain characters.
I'm not super far into it because you know I got sucked into Stellar Blade, but you know there's definitely like I'm recruiting this guy. He has a crossbow and like strong people. That's his story. Like the end. Like that's all I know about this dude. Like he's like I'm joining your team. Like, that's it. Like, I assume maybe they'll flesh him out later, or they just never will, and he'll just be that dude on my team.
I imagine a game with 100 characters, it's likely no.
Yeah, and, you know, they also do, like, you know, team-up attacks. So, like, people who have, like, affinity with each other can, like, unlock these, like, hero skills. So, you know, recruiting more people and people who, like, you know, work together better might be on your party more than... just like some rando. So
what determines that?
Like, just like on it, like story beats and stuff like that. Like, how do they like? You know,
I mean, like
the world,
how characters work together. They're like.
So it's just like a special move. Like,
gotcha.
I don't know. I don't have a ton of those either. But it's like I don't know. My main character attacks, and then my sidekick character does extra attack, and it's more likely to like stun the enemy or something. So, you know, I'm sure there's cooler and bigger attacks. I remember in the Soikiden games that there's like, you know, you can get up to like 3 people attacking, I think, at once on a special attack.
Oh, yeah. There's like some kind of chain system or something
like
that.
Yeah, definitely in 3 there was.
God, I haven't played a Soikiden game in so long, but they have my heart. I love it.
Same. Yeah. And I think it's been since 3 on PS2 that I've really like dove into one, so it's good to be like back in it. It's, you know, it feels like a good Super Nintendo game, or maybe like a PS1 game. It's actually probably closer to a PS1 game. It's not like super gorgeous or anything. It feels a little lacking at times, but it does really harken back to like an old school JRPG game. So,
and it was like crowdfunded.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
So
yeah,
pretty cool that people who just like really loved that series just kind of showed up and helped fund this game.
Exactly. So. And I will say, honestly, the voice acting isn't terrible for someone like me.
High praise from John Michael.
It truly is. Now, there are some characters like, shut up. Like, stop. Like, you're not going to be on my team because you sound stupid.
Have you gotten Guru yet? The kangaroo?
No, not yet. No.
Okay, he's fucking cool.
But I do have a big wolf dude who basically just sounds like Wolverine from X-Men. So nice. I'm like, well, you're never leaving my party. So, because now I basically have Wolverine.
Yeah, that's one thing that the Soikiden games do is that they have very interesting characters.
Yes.
Like, they don't shy away like from just like really wacky off-the-wall designs.
How does this relate to or tie in the recent Eowyn Chronicles game that you and Renee talked about?
I don't know. It's in the same world. Yeah.
That was before this one.
Oh, it's a prequel.
Gotcha. I'm assuming, I think Renee mentioned this on one of the earlier episodes, but I assume we'll find out at some point. I'm sure those paths will cross. If that ever happens,
blades will bleed.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll go to like that town eventually. Yeah. And you'll probably recruit those characters that were in it.
I'm still in a pretty early ish area, but we'll see.
You left out the surname, which would have totally made me understand this game better.
100 Heroes?
100 Heroes. Now I know there's 100 Heroes.
I just told you there's 100 Heroes.
Now I know. Well, I would have known because I would have read the title.
You didn't trust me. I trust the internet.
I only trust the internet. That's where I get all of my news.
From Hunter Hero to 100
Heroes. Let's see. Neil.
Hello.
What you been playing, buddy?
Oh, so, yeah, I dove back into more of an action game.
Yeah.
I booted up Final Fantasy 16 again since they just had that recent DLC come out.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, cool.
But there was also, like, a prior DLC that I didn't play, so I played through that one as well. And they were, you know, not bad. I kind of liked how they intertwined with the story, you know? It was almost like glorified side quest, but
a Gaiden.
Yeah.
Neil, real quick, do these DLCs take place, I assume, earlier, like in the game?
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, there's stipulations in them too, like where you have to beat. Like, pretty much these would take place between, like, the very last and the second to last mission.
Okay.
Based on,
like when all those thousands of side quests open up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you have to have a save file, I guess, like in that area or in that time frame to activate these DLCs.
Oh, wow.
Wow, so you have to like be deep in the game. Yeah. Like, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Because it's all basically about like them discovering another Mother Crystal. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
Which is, of course, Leviathan.
I assume it's in the sea?
Yeah. So the first one was... you know, it's like $10 by itself, and I think the second one's $20, but like the thing's $25 altogether, so I got that. But the first one was definitely like, I'm not even sure it was like $10 worth.
Oh, God. How long was it?
I mean, it was like 2 to 3 hours, but it was, you know, like the first like half of it was just like literally felt like this like fetch quest from point A to point B to point C, like just kind of dragging along
until
all of a sudden there was like this one story beat that's like, oh, hey, we're going to spin it into, like, where this is leading now. Oh. And so it's basically just, like, some tower off in the distance by one of the towns you go to. And it's kind of like you fight 4 bosses and then an end boss. And I will say, like, the final fight in that was probably the best thing about it. Not just because it was over.
who is it?
But no, it was, like, an Omega 1. It's like a vitamin.
Is that one a day? I now have the calcium to take on the true final boss.
But yeah, no, it's like, you know, so you get some weapons and whatnot. But the second DLC is called The Rising Tide, and that's the one with Leviathan. And there's actually another guardian thing you get that was kind of unexpected that I didn't know.
It's Cloud.
But yeah, this one was like definitely... way more worth the price because it kind of like unlocks a whole new area to explore with like a new town, a whole like new set of side quests, whole new story mission. And then it even unlocks this one thing after you beat it, kind of like a 20 level tower that you just like boss rush fight through and kind of do like a survival mode thing trying to beat it.
Nice, I like that.
So yeah, there was like a lot more content added. And
nice.
One thing I noticed is, of course, they throw in the Buster Sword now.
Oh, you got to.
But, you know, what's cool about that game is, like, you get that sword and it's shit attack compared to if you have any of the final game weapons. But there's, like, transmog in that game, so you just, like, make your weapon look like something else. So that's pretty cool. But, yeah, overall, I mean...
So, worth the price of admission?
Yeah,
at least on the if you got it bundled together. So
for what I know of you in Final Fantasy 16, probably not.
I mean, I wasn't going to buy it anyway. But you know, for people who
but yeah,
do
if
want
you enjoyed the
this,
game,
like,
you know, like I did, like it was, you know, yeah, like yeah, worth the admission, worth the DLC, and like I said, it was just kind of cool how they tied it all in, where it's like it is kind of an offbeat story that doesn't add anything, but also adds if you play it.
Sure.
Okay. You know? So,
does it feel like an Assassin's Creed situation where it's just like, here's part of the story and we've removed it to sell it to you later? Or I guess you said it sounded, it felt more like a side thing.
I guess you could argue that because of like how well it actually does connect in, but also like it not being in there, there's still a full functional story that makes sense. And this doesn't disturb that in any way. Like I said, it just kind of adds a new layer to it.
Sure. Okay.
And I think it was worth it. Yeah. For that.
Okay.
Especially that second story. It's really, really cool, involving Leviathan and how his icon is and what it's connected to. It's pretty kind of
Satan.
Hell yeah.
It's actually like kind of like rough. You know, being a father and all.
Oh, no, the darkness. Oh, no. Okay.
But yeah.
Say no more, Neil.
Renee.
Hey.
What you been playing?
Not Aiden Chronicles, unfortunately.
You'll get there.
I know.
We'll
I was like so excited to play that
game. I was surprised to not see it.
I will say, it is a $50 game, which is kind of a little steep, I thought, but it is free on Game Pass.
Oh, that is cool. That is cool.
Is that what you're playing on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We have the like physical copy, but...
right. I forgot. There's GameWare has physical copies.
Yeah, on PS5 and Switch.
Yeah.
So I actually started a new Otome game. It's called Cupid Parasite, and I've had it like on like our shelf in the game room for years and years and years, and it's always been one that I've meant to pick up and start playing. But I actually picked it up and started playing it because Idea Factory International, the people that localize these games, they are running like a contest on Twitter right now, and I feel like it's kind of a tailor-made contest for me. So they're doing this thing that they have the fan disc for this game coming out soon, which is called Cupid Parasite, Sweet and Spicy Darling.
Delicious.
And it comes out in a month. So they're doing a baking contest where you think you like basically like bake and like take photos of and like tag them on Twitter of like desserts based on the main love interests. So I was like, oh my God, this like contest was made for me, but I haven't played Cupid Parasite.
So you need to learn your source material.
Exactly. So I can think up desserts based on these characters. And there's opportunities to win, which is like for a nerd like me, this is great. But there's an opportunity to win a signature from the seiyu. So like a signature from the Japanese voice actors, like each one, like if you win, like, you know, that dessert, I guess, based on that character, you get that
dessert.
One.
Yeah.
So I'm playing that game, and it's really cute, and it's also kind of stupid, but it's cute. It's basically the main character is Cupid, and she's like trying to prove to all the gods that like, no, humans are like fine on their own. I'm gonna prove it to you guys. I'm gonna go down there to the human world, and I'm gonna show you that everything's fine. They don't necessarily need a Cupid. So she ends up working for this like matchmaking company, I guess. And
Match.com.
Yeah, she ends up working for Match.com, but for IRL Match.com. And she's very dedicated to not using any of her god powers. And she basically gets assigned these like completely unmanageable like people, and like of course those are love interests.
You have to bring them together, or you are falling in love with the interests.
You are falling in love with these characters that are like unlovable. They suck. I think I told Steven that I think the premise for this game is that they basically thought of like, what are like the worst characters that we can think of?
Well, I guess that's
let's
the
put them all in a game. So, but it's not in a way like the worst characters we can think of, but we are going to make them lovable and like cute and nice. So I have been enjoying it. I've finished like one route, but I'm really trying to speed run this game. I'm hoping to have like all of them done within the next couple days. Because I also actually, another thing that distracted me from Ayudin Chronicles is that the new Genshin patch just dropped.
Uh-oh. What's new in this patch?
4.6. This one's actually a pretty big one, unlike the last patch, which really didn't have like anything like super new to it. Mm-hmm. This one dropped like a whole new like area in the region. It's pretty much the last expansion of Fontaine, which is like the newest region in the 4.0. Until we get to 5.0, Natlin. But yeah, so it's like a new region, then a new weekly boss, which is like a pretty highly anticipated character, a harbinger. Basically, she is like the new weekly boss. And while I haven't unlocked her yet, I did completely 100% the new area, which is crazy for me. That's like completely explore the whole area. Normally, I like get through about 30-40%, and then I like have to start looking up guides, and I don't know, maybe get lost a little bit in the world quest. But I did not use a guide for anything.
That's impressive.
I started the world quest like one day, I think it was like at 5 o'clock, and I played really hard and was like, I'm just going to try exploring everything. And I did it. I fucking did it, which is crazy for me. I'm not normally like this.
There's a lot of hidden stuff, hard to find stuff.
Yeah, for real. And yeah. I can really attribute this to this region specifically, this newish area. A lot of it is underwater, which a lot of people criticize their underwater exploration because there's no combat, really. Mm. You can't use your characters like that you've been building, which really fucking sucks. But the reason that they did that is because a lot of people have a fear of the sea and a fear of drowning. It's like there's a lot of fears about going deep underwater. So they wanted to make this, like, I guess, not...
Cozier?
Cozier, basically. And it does suffer from that, I do find. But this area in particular, it was just so wide and so, like, I don't know, like, really neat to go to different, like, super deep depths. And it was just very easy to explore that I was able to just do it. Just fucking go.
Yeah,
and I loved that. And the world quest was really good. Of course, the Genshin world quest, again, criticized for not being voiced, which can be a total pain in the ass to just have to read a ton of text and be like, why isn't this just voice?
So slowly. And
you can't skip it.
You know how much I love skipping people talk nonsense.
Especially with Genshin, because they just, it's vamping constantly.
Yeah. I'll just let it roll and go do something else.
But this in particular was a really beautiful story quest, and Genshin does a really good thing where at the end of story quests, it all builds up into something really beautiful and really moving, and the music is always on point. And this one really did that. And so I've been really impressed with this Genshin update. So that's really what I've been playing, was like I hardcore like went in on Genshin.
Nice.
So, yeah. Sorry, I've been talking for like 5 minutes about Genshin, but...
Okay. It's still a game.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of big updates, this is the part of the show where I'll tell everyone how great Helldivers 2 is, and everyone should go buy Helldivers 2 and dive in and help me spread some freedom.
You can buy it at GameWare.
At GameWare. Copies. I didn't know there was a physical copy of Helldivers 2, but you can buy one at GameWare.
Probably.
When I first put it in, it just like... it just started like copying and then never did anything.
Oh.
Is
it defective?
No, it works now.
Oh, okay.
I just ejected it.
Huh.
Oh.
And re-put the disc in.
Weird.
And it works.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Small indie company.
Helldivers 2 also had a really big patch that came out like a day or two ago.
That made
a lot of balance changes to like weapons and enemies. Cool. They finally reduced the fire damage that they buffed the last patch, which is funny because there's a planet with fire tornadoes.
Dear God.
And it's like broken because like the fire tornadoes hunt you down.
Yes.
And then they buffed the fire. So then the fire tornadoes just murdered everything. And it kind of became unfun after you laughed about it for a little bit. The fire did kill you very fast. So they brought that down some, and they've made a bunch of balance changes to, I believe, like 30 weapons and stratagems throughout the game. And weapons and armor and everything. So big change there. You know, played some more with John Michael and some friends this past week.
Good sesh.
Neil bought it this weekend, which is very exciting. Let me know when you want to kill some
bugs. I played
bugs.
Like an hour. I didn't put it on the list just because
You
know, it was basically like tutorial and then...
You like dive in and get murdered and you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I was like diving into some games. I kind of don't really understand the map.
Yeah, it's weird. You gotta, like I said, it's better.
Yeah, it's just messing with it.
It's an acquired taste.
You gotta know what you're looking for. I didn't get it at first either, but now I kind of know
what
I'm looking for. So it's definitely. I mean,
it was
how's
very
it been?
Destiny in that way, where I'm just like jumping in and like.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing with randos or just going solo?
I was playing with random people. Yeah,
how was
I
that?
Guess so, because I was like diving in and there was like already two people. Yep. It was fine. Okay. Like there was one I dove into and I think one dude was like level 20 something, the other was like 18.
Mm-hmm.
I dove in, I'm like a level 1 cadet. It's my first mission.
And they're like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
They just like turned and looked and like, I mean, as I was fighting, there was sometimes I'd die. Yeah, I died like maybe like 3 or 4 times, but some dude back. Like I guess like did a respawn thing every single time and like saluted me every single time. So I was
it's
like,
been a
cool.
pretty decent community so far.
Yeah, sometimes people
playing
there,
with randos.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I was when I played Destiny. Like, mm-hmm. you could tell, you know, you got your blueberries or your kindergartens. And
Do you know what difficulty you dove into when you played?
It was easy.
Okay.
Two.
Okay, good. Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll have to play this together some because it's more fun, obviously, when you can, like, chat and actually coordinate what
Is
you're
there
doing.
Not a jump action?
No.
Okay.
Like you can unlock a jetpack later. That's like kind of just like a boosty boost. Because
for some reason, that's like a move I keep wanting to do.
Jump.
Yeah.
You can double tap circle to dive.
Yeah, there's like the go prone dive. Yeah, I have found that. But it's like for some reason, I like want to jump. Like I want this to be like, I don't know.
When you're just making like running across just like the desert and there's nothing there.
Yeah,
like, I wish
like,
I could just be jumping.
It's like if this had jump, this would feel like basically like just a very new Lost Planet.
Yeah.
And I love that.
To me, this is what I wanted like No Man's Sky to be. Even though No Man's Sky turned out to be more exploration, this is like just like the combat I actually wanted from that like experience. I wish there's a little more planet diversity in Helldivers right now, but I mean it's like we always joke when we say small indie company when we talk about Epic and Fortnite, but I'd like these guys are like actually a small indie company. It's like 100 people
we'll
or less.
Get there.
So yeah, always welcoming new recruits. I also finished Crisis Core in my like 1 minute Final Fantasy update.
How about that ending?
Man, it's like, well, I don't know, spoiler, if it's 18-year-old game now.
Do people not know yet?
It's like they pull a Halo Reach, but it was before Halo Reach, so it's like, wait.
But also not, because Crisis Core came out 10 years after the original.
Well, yeah. Wait. Oh, like the original Final Fantasy VII you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? That's what you mean by Halo Reach, okay.
Where it's just like survive.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At the end.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it was cool. It definitely, at the end, I'm glad I guess I played it, so I know more about this character that I guess will be relevant in the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, it got really easy, because I did a bunch of the like side missions early, and then I got unlocked Fire Aga in like chapter 4 or 5, and then that was all I needed to do for the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it was cool. It really felt like one of those weird Kingdom Hearts games that you have to play to understand what's going on, where it's like, this is kind of relevant and like it's kind of cool, but it's also like, that was 20 hours. That probably didn't need to be.
It might make more sense as you get into Rebirth.
Okay. I figured it does. Seeing just, you know, the story of the Buster Sword, speaking of.
I guess it is kind of funny how they release these games, like, especially since it's like a player like you where you just played Remake.
Yeah.
And then it's like, of course, after Remake, they released this, so you're kind of playing it in that. It's like, okay, what the fuck was that? So now when you start Rebirth, the first chapter, you're going to be like, what the fuck is going on?
Great.
It'll make less and less sense for a while until it all makes sense. Or it doesn't.
Ooh,
I don't know.
Perfect. That sounds like a Kingdom Hearts game.
This is probably like the one aspect of the story, like playing the OG is probably the most critical and like, keeping straight.
Yeah, like know where like the true north is.
But yeah, just Remake into this new Crisis Core is like, yeah, you're in for a ride, especially like just the first chapter of Rebirth.
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. I was like, wait, so this came out after the original game, but like they're releasing it now and like they're now they're splitting stuff up and doing weird stuff with this like series. But
the cool thing about it too though is it's also like when you play the OG, you see the movie posters or the Broadway posters and advertisements for this like play called Loveless. So it's like kind of like this big thing in the game that's never really talked about. And then like now it is, you know, like Crisis Core, like that's Genesis whole thing.
Yeah,
is it's all like that. And even in Rebirth, like Loveless plays a bigger part in like the whole foreshadowing events, which is kind of cool.
I also think it's funny that you go to places in Crisis Core that you don't go to in Remake, and I only know because I heard y'all talking about them on the show.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, look, I'm in this place that okay, now I know what this means. But it was cool. I'm glad I played it. I think I'm going to take a break from Final Fantasy now, though, to not burn out, because I've been trying to get through Persona
good decision.
Spoiler cast, mid-May.
Yeah.
Stellar Blade just came out, so I'll probably spend time on that. But I think next I'm finally going to get back to Yakuza 8.
There you go.
Finally, like 4 months later, after playing six games to get caught up
that
there.
Spoiler cast. I'll play it again and catch up with
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. I think that's everything on the list. It looks like it. Before we go to news, though, let's take a trip back to the past with Retro Rewind. We went back and forth a lot on Retro Rewind. So I chose the game that we all have some experience in, and we definitely don't talk about this franchise enough on this show, but 22 years ago this week, Resident Evil Remake came out on GameCube.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
A pretty sizable remake from the original PlayStation version. Steven, as the resident Evil fan on this podcast, what does Resident Evil Remake mean to you?
First time I ever played a Resident Evil game on a console.
Really?
Was the GameCube.
What did you play it on before that?
PC.
Oh, okay.
I had the first two games on like my parents' computer.
Okay. How did it feel holding a GameCube controller and being like, what is this play school thing?
Well, I think I'd already held one for 2 years now by the time this game had come out. So yeah, I think
You've
I was used to it.
Training for so long.
You know, the great thing about the GameCube controller is since the buttons are like shaped like little beans or circles, you don't ever have to look down at it.
Sure.
Like, I don't have to look down. Like, am I pressing the kidney bean? Because you can feel it.
I can never remember which kidney bean is which, though. Like, which one's X and which
one's
Y.
That's up and, I don't know, just, and there's the big circle and the small circle that's B.
A children's toy.
And that game's, to this day, like, man, it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
Like, remake, and it's been remade again.
Yeah, the remake has been.
The remake. Yeah. But not really. Yeah, so they've, modern version they've added, like traditional controls.
Oh, it's supposed to tank controls. Yeah.
No tank controls.
But man, like that was maybe the best looking video game I'd ever played in 2003.
That was my first Resident Evil game I played, and I was like 11 and horrified.
Good, it did its job.
It did do its job. That opening cinematic was so realistic looking back then. They just ate that dude, and then those dogs jumped through the glass. Yeah. You're like, ah! Scary. I don't know how to aim down to shoot these things.
Did they do that thing where, like, they mess with you a little bit? If you had played the original game, the placement of the dogs jumping through the windows from the actual original game?
I believe that's true.
That's clever.
They're
evil.
Like, anything could happen in this game. And then you fight a shark.
I didn't get that far.
Oh, man. Really?
I was okay.
It's an 8-hour game.
Well, you have to remember, Nintendo was stupid in my household.
Oh,
so my buddy had to bring his GameCube over and this copy of the game.
You know, luckily it has a handle.
That's true. So
that's a good friend, though.
Right. No, it's not a gaming console. It's my work briefcase.
So we only made it like the first hour or two in, and then it was like, all right, I got to bring my GameCube back home.
No, but
I never played it again.
Yeah. It was the worst sleepover ever. We're here for an hour.
So that did not pique your interest and send you to your local GameStop to go find a copy of the PS1 game, which was playable on your more adult-oriented PS2.
Well, I was like 11,
and it
was rated
a
M for mature.
Game?
Maybe. No, Resident Evil 1 was never on Dreamcast. No.
Well, but Bleemcast.
That's a good point. Maybe. I think
I think anything could have been.
I remember specifically they had Metal Gear Solid, and I think
and
it was
Gran
one
Turismo.
Of... It was Gran
Turismo.
Gran Turismo
was the other one.
I thought I remember a Resident Evil game, but I can't remember if it was one or two.
There were two official Bleemcast releases.
What is this?
Well, this is tangential to what we're talking about.
Yeah,
this is. So this company called Bleem released little emulator discs that allowed you to play PS1 games on your... Dreamcast?
But it wasn't like allowed computer, you think, to play right? your PS1 games.
It was like that game.
It was like you bought this and it was that PS1 game,
that game
on this disc that you played on a Dreamcast.
On Dreamcast.
But you still had to have the game. Like
it's a wacky setup.
I'm so confused.
You had to have a copy of Metal Gear Solid on PS1.
Okay.
And then you bought the Bleemcast disc.
Okay.
And you put that in your Dreamcast, and then you turn your Dreamcast on.
Okay.
You take the Bleemcast disc out.
Okay.
And then you put the PS1 disc in your Dreamcast.
And then it worked?
Yes.
Play it.
Is this because is this like the same exploit you could get for just like burning games on the Dreamcast?
Basically, because you can play Super Nintendo games on a Dreamcast.
Right. Like, yeah, where do you put it? Of burn games that I just play on my Dreamcast.
You just put a disc in your Dreamcast and it loads them.
The Utopia Super disc.
You realize there's a Windows logo on that system.
I know.
Right? CE.
Right.
No, but yeah, Resident Evil Remake. It was like, oh my god, this is a rebirth of the franchise. This cements the fact that the GameCube is not for babies.
Honestly, that is pretty true. There weren't a lot of like M games, right? But there was Resident Evil.
I mean, there was Eternal Darkness already.
Right. Well, that not no M games, but you know, it did have at least, you know, a few of these like, you know, spooky games on there to be like.
This
well,
was proof that Nintendo was trying to not change its image, but like improve it.
Mm-hmm. Expand.
Yes. Like, this is, we are for everyone.
Hey, the GameCube had the uncensored version of BMX XXX.
That's right. True.
By the way, so the PS2 version censored.
Very censored.
And the Xbox
version.
Probably
just more like, we know you enjoyed Luigi's Mansion.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's
check
more
out
of that.
This Capcom classic also in a mansion.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Same thing.
I think Switch is going to get the uncensored version of Stellar Blade.
Ooh, perfect.
What overjoys.
Do you want to see Resident Evil get another remake in the same vein of 2 through 4?
Sure.
So far.
Why not?
Yeah.
Would you rather them? Well, I mean, I know the answer to this.
I love a would you rather. Let's go.
No, I mean the answer is yes. The answer is yes. But I'll say I would like to see them like do a 0 and 1.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like together.
Zero is much worse than one.
That's why you shove them together.
Right. You just shove it. Yeah.
Okay. You just shove it.
Just shove it. One game.
Just shove it.
Zero was cool because it was like, this is more, and it looks like this.
You can switch between the two protagonists.
The zapping system, right? The zapping system is what they called it. That was a big deal.
Have they said anything about what they're doing next with Resident Evil?
I think they're 9.
They're focused on, right now they're focused on Dragon's Dogma, and then next they will focus on Monster Hunter.
Yeah, do they only have one person who makes games? They have to rotate through all.
His name is Capcom.
Yes. Captain Com. He's making them all.
Shit, is that why it's called Captain Commando?
Yeah. Right, it really is.
Oh, man.
Oh, but they're the capsule company.
Them too, yeah.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Because they were like a Gashapon company.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Right. Also, they're on Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Let's talk about some news.
Alright.
Are you a child that likes to play Roblox?
Absolutely.
I'm a shareholder that likes children that play Roblox.
Exactly.
Do you like shopping at Walmart?
I love the fact that so many people shop at Walmart. I can't say I do, but as
I love
a shareholder.
That for others.
So Walmart is testing out a new Roblox feature that will allow players to buy physical items from Walmart through Roblox.
Isn't Roblox testing out a new Walmart feature? You said it the other way.
Yeah, Walmart's testing out
Roblox. Walmart is not testing out a Roblox feature.
That is literally the headline on this website.
Well, then they got it wrong. You're not walking into Walmart and then loading up Roblox.
Yeah, there's not going to be a...
Doesn't Walmart own Roblox?
No, I do. Partially. Very small amount.
There's not like a Roblox greeter when you walk into.
Look, what if there was?
I never signed a contract saying I would show you my Roblox receipt when I exit this game.
Yeah.
I feel didn't they do this in like World of Warcraft where you'd like / pizza and order Domino's or something like that?
Yeah, you could still do that.
Order
right?
Walmart?
Yeah. /
Walmart.
Speaking of Shaq.
Yeah. I'm going to download Roblox.
He was sweating then.
So this
Walmart declined his credit card.
This will give me the ability to purchase like some bananas, I guess, in Roblox.
Ooh.
And then I go to Walmart and they're ready for me.
Is
that
like
this is?
I don't have to like leave the game? Like I need to play Roblox so badly, but I also
the average age of a Roblox player is like 7.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, do they need...
Where's the purchasing power?
And how do they know who you are? Because, like, do you have to cosplay as your Roblox character to pick up your order?
I think you just have a QR code. I don't know. How does this work?
Danny 2007 ordering this giant bag of Reese's Pieces? Like,
So let's back up a little bit. So last year, Roblox introduced Walmart Discovered.
Oh, the deep lore.
Which is a branded experience that you can go hang out and do Walmart things inside of Roblox.
Let's get this straight. You were playing a Roblox game. And
yes.
You're like, I'm going to go to fake Walmart.
Yes.
You know,
it's
gonna
be a fun day for me.
I created a second life.
Sounds like Dead Rises.
I was not satisfied with my own.
Second life.
Second life.
All right. So this is the thing. I'm sorry. That's insane. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hey.
It's a real thing that happened.
Side note, Roblox sounds like it kind of sucks.
Well, you're also not 8 years old. Now
we
are
watched
you?
Tristan play it.
Did we?
Tristan 8 years old?
Did he run?
He was at some point.
He's like 14 when he showed us this, and he was like, "I don't really log into Roblox anymore."
But check this shit out.
But check this out. And it was like two little block people slapping each other. He was like, "I log in just for this."
Oh,
and I was like, "Oh, okay, that's fine."
Is that the dailies?
Yes,
I guess so.
We'll call them the slappies.
Slapping game.
Little slappies going on.
So starting this week,
GoldenEye.
If you're a Roblox player over the age of 13, and you live in the United States,
I'm both of those.
You now have access to a new section of Roblox where you can go buy physical items and have them delivered to your home.
It's called the grocery section.
There's an app on your phone that does, like, again, this is just, you don't leave Roblox.
So there's a new storefront where you can buy basically an item in-game and then get the real-life version of that same item.
What are
the,
does it give examples of what these items are? Like,
machete.
Through.
So I'm saying, is it grocery
for all
shopping?
Those times that, you know, you've been on Roblox. Duct tape. And in someone else's headset, you hear the mom yelling, who's your opponent? Billy?
I don't think there's opponents in this game.
Billy, did you do the grocery order yet?
And now,
instead of being like, hold on, mom, let me finish my Roblox game.
Yeah. I would need to know, is this straight up just linked to a Walmart storefront, or is it like a Roblox exclusive t-shirt?
No,
or...
this says it's looped into Walmart's API. So you're like basically just on a Walmart storefront.
So literally I'm just doing my grocery shopping in Roblox.
So like pizza rolls.
Yeah, it's actually kind of dope.
I mean, kind of, but I mean, again, they make an app on your phone where you could just do the same thing.
Yeah, but like, imagine like Dead Rising updates, and it's like, you can just go grocery shopping in Dead Rising.
You can get the smoothie.
I don't think I like that.
Make the smoothie, and then it comes to your door.
Fantastic.
A zombie delivers it.
No, I mean, you literally, like, you have to go in, you have to put in your name, your address, your credit card, and it's all linked in through Walmart's API, and then you will order stuff, and it'll charge the card, and it'll be delivered to your home from
the
address they have on file.
That sounds like a lawsuit.
I mean, how many stories you already hear about, like, kids getting their parents' phones and buying $2,000 of fucking whatever
on that? Yeah, this is a shady practice,
is
what this is.
My kid has bought two video games on my PlayStation.
Already, and he's not even seven.
Go back to the 80s, and it was 1-900 numbers. So
yeah,
Roblox is now the Freddy Krueger hotline, the 1-900 number.
Yeah, I need
where you can talk to Freddy. Yeah.
Okay. I have some more
Sega
answers
channel.
To your questions.
Okay, I have so many questions.
But
it's a small
scale test.
How small?
Three items
that
you can choose. Three items. It's a bag, a tumbler, and a pair of wireless headphones. Are the three things that you can...
None of those are pizza rolls.
None of those are pizza rolls.
Any of
that's
those.
Weird.
So this is just a way to purchase merch.
Kind of, but...
Are they
going to
change it out? Like next month, it'll
for
be
for now.
A tumbler? Or you already said tumbler. Damn it.
Every week.
Two tumblers.
Yeah.
Every
Look,
week it updates. Every
Rob,
Tuesday.
The Roblox noon. VP of Economy. I want to be the VP of Economy.
Ooh.
Enrico... D'Angeloso? D'Angelo
Vickers.
Robloxo.
Says shopping for virtual items is already an important element of how people engage and express themselves on Roblox today.
Is it?
Our goal is to gather feedback, test the technology, and learn what resonates with Gen Z customers the most when it comes to shopping for physical items. So, like, okay, this reminds me of the giant sign in the mall that says just like shopping online, but IRL.
Yeah, I've seen that 40-foot tall banner.
Fucking stupid. Yeah. But this is just like, I don't know. It's like, okay, you're too... All right, how do we reach Gen Z? They don't use phones anymore and go to the Walmart app. So let's go to Roblox, which, again, that's not even Gen Z. It's like Gen Alpha at this point. But it's like, okay, let's shove it to them in their face in Roblox so they're ready to buy stuff at age 7, which they can't legally buy until they're 13. I don't know. This is all weird because, too many... reports of kids just like spending their parents' money and chargebacks happening. I don't know.
I mean, we all understand that Roblox is not a platform for like adults with full-time jobs for the most part. There might be people who do that. I don't know. That just doesn't seem like a giant demographic. So really, they're just building a storefront for children to buy things, which I don't know. That just, again, this is where it's starting to get
I mean, like, technically you're not supposed to have access to it until you're over 13, but like you said, like at 13 you don't have buying power at 13.
Well, that's why they in the disclaimer said now if you're 13 or older you get access to this new area.
Well, there's a lot of places where just children, just you can work if you're a child now, so I guess maybe it's going to be...
the mines, for instance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the mines. On the coal mines.
Yep. It's a whole different
coal
game.
Coal bucks on Roblox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they'll give you a gas mask.
Yeah.
That'll be next week.
Use your in-house script that you can...
Yeah.
And Walmart Director of Brand Experiences and Strategic Partnerships, Justin Brayton, says that it's all very safe. It's all powered by Walmart's API that handles all of the information super securely.
That just...
Super securely.
That doesn't mean that... Like,
hey, super securely.
Well, that means it's just linked to Walmart shopping. That doesn't mean that like it protects children from not buying stupid things.
But
they
say things like...
Card.
They say things like API.
That is true.
So it sounds pretty important.
Yeah, that is true. If I
do you know what API stands for?
Well, I don't know what it stands for, but I know what it does.
And the security is super.
That is true.
I'm convinced.
I mean, you know, this isn't Security 64.
That's true.
This is super security.
Well, if you don't want to play Roblox to buy physical things, you can do so also on the internet. I don't know if you've heard of this place, the internet.
API stands for Application Programming Interface.
Oh, there we go. Now I also know what it means.
Those are words.
Remember like months ago when we talked about the Tiny Dance Dance Revolution machine?
About that every day.
That you couldn't buy, but it existed in Japan.
Right. Yeah, it was like the tech
You can now
one,
buy
right?
it in Roblox.
You cannot buy it in Roblox, but you can buy it on the internet. On the Zuiki store, it'll have a price tag of 49,500 yen, which right now Silicon Era says is about $315.
Yeah.
Steven, are you going to spend $315 on this DDR Mini?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
Like, what is the, like, ratio, the scale? Is it like a...
I think we talked about this last time.
1/12. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's slight...
That seems decently sized.
I mean, you know, you put your fingers like you're walking on the table, and then you stand
okay,
on the
so
dance
it's
pad.
Big for that.
It's
like, yeah.
It's right here.
It's like, you know, to go along with your tech deck collection.
Yeah.
You get done shredding the grails on your tech deck, and you go play some songs on your DDR Mini Classic.
Nice.
I actually was talking with my shopping service about like being a part of the crowdfunding for this. Cool. So I'm glad that it is available, because we ended up just saying, nah, hopefully this will happen. And it did. Yay!
We got it.
The Classic Mini console will contain a number of songs from the Dance Dance Revolution entry, as well as second mix and third mix.
Contain a singular number.
It'll also it'll also come with a pair of miniature controllers that are only suitable to operate with hands. However, players can also connect regular DDR controllers via USB to play the game with their feet.
Nice. Goddamn hand controllers.
Oh, there it is.
I'm gonna put my hamster on.
Yeah. It's right here.
Hamster.
How are you supposed to see that?
Well, it has HDMI out.
Oh.
So you can hook it up to your TV. Or you can just play it on the
computer
itself.
Okay, that's actually pretty dope.
This promo picture I'm looking at, they're playing the mini cabinet on a DDR dance pad.
Yeah.
The arcade pad. I just noticed that.
Man, these conversion rates are like really good for America. Right
yeah, that's
now.
Why we're going to Japan.
I'm about to say. Cause
for Christmas.
Let's do it.
It was always like almost 1-to-1. Like 49,500 yen should be like, what, $495? Mm-hmm. And it's only $315.
Yeah.
Let's all go to Japan.
Now is the time.
Episode
you're going to go, although flights are double the price.
Ah, they always get you no state income tax, but those expensive property taxes, they
it's
always
okay.
get you something.
Get them on Patreon.
I'm hoping that when this thing comes out, people instantly figure out how to hack it so you can just add stuff to it.
Oh, I'm sure that'll be like day one.
It's exciting to have like arcade interface style gameplay on a home thing that's not like a PS1 disc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can't make it to Japan for a field trip, maybe you can take a short drive over to Katy, Texas as part of our Snackware Express.
segment, because there's going to be so much Sonic food we keep talking about on this show. There's going to be a Sonic the Hedgehog pop up in Katy, Texas, where you can buy Sonic's classic chili dog, or again a Knuckles sandwich, which is just a spicy chicken sandwich.
Hilarious.
Some chicken tendies, and you can have some sides that include Golden Ring onion rings, fast fries, and Green Hill vegan chili cup.
I love cup. Cup is my favorite meal.
This is going to start May 4th, which is this Saturday.
Yeah.
Sonic Day.
Yeah. International Sonic.
And it's going to be at Kraft's Burgers, which is on South Mason Road in Katy.
Just looks like paper.
And there's a lot of cool things to do out in Katy. They have a really massive, like I guess Koreatown sort of that's like popping up over there. So yeah, this will be kind of perfect.
It was designed by the people that made Labo, apparently.
Nintendo Labo?
Yeah.
What?
It wasn't actually.
It's not. No, it just looks like a cardboard pop up.
What is a pop up?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like 3 months long or something like that.
I'm going to Houston in June, so that works out.
It's got cool branding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this actually started as like an official, it is like Sega official, it's not like a fan creation thing. So it started at like a convention, I think it was San Diego Comic Con.
In 2023.
And then it was so successful, they were like, okay, well, let's do another one. They did one in Los Angeles, I think, somewhere else in California. And then they're like, well, fuck it, let's go to Texas. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's the co-founder of Trill Burgers.
These burgers
Andy Nguyen.
Look,
dude, that looks good.
The burgers look phenomenal.
And one of the partners is Houston hip-hop legend Bun B.
Didn't the guy
my favorite Sonic character.
I believe it was like a Chopped character did the menu or something.
A Chopped champion.
Yeah. A lot of the menu items in Katy. So this is actually her restaurant that they are doing the pop-up in. And she had like say in like a bunch of the items. So yeah.
Also that's some really cool. Shakes, I believe, as well. Some dessert shakes that look very, very good.
Yeah. Team Dark and Sweet Amy milkshakes. Well, I guess one's kind of one, I guess, is chocolate and vanilla, or just chocolate, and one looks to be strawberry.
Looks delicious.
It's right here. Team Dark Mocha milkshake and Sweet Amy strawberry milkshake.
But great. What is big? The cat
and Tailspin tea.
It's fried cat.
Fish.
No fish.
No, it's just fried cat.
So feel free to check that out. If you wanted to go to BlizzCon this year, you cannot.
Ah, shit.
Oh. No.
Because Blizzard has officially canceled BlizzCon for this year.
Whatever.
Which I guess makes sense. Like, what do they have to show? Well, I'll answer that already because none of you asked.
I found, I didn't find it. My mom, for Christmas last year, maybe 2 years ago, gave me like a flash drive that has a bunch of old home movies.
Whoa.
And apparently 1 year at E3, I brought like a camcorder.
Cool.
And it must have been like 2004.
Yeah.
Maybe 2000. It was probably 2004. And the footage is real bad because I'm not. I'm not good at that. But anyway, so it was the last year that Blizzard was ever at E3. The last year they had a booth at E3.
So that was like StarCraft Ghost?
Yeah, literally. Yeah. I played that 2 years in a row at E3. played it once on a GameCube and then also on an Xbox.
You didn't have to look at the controller when you played the GameCube.
No, because the kidney bean shaped button helped me. But yeah, it was interesting to see in that video that I recorded what Blizzard's, you know, what it looked like to see Blizzard at E3, because immediately after that is kind of when they started BlizzCon.
Mm-hmm.
Just did their own thing a few years later.
In a blog post on their website, Blizzard says, after careful consideration over the last year, we at Blizzard have made the decision not to hold BlizzCon in 2024. This decision was not made lightly, as BlizzCon remains a very special event for all of us, and we know how many of you look forward to it. While we're approaching this year differently, as we have explored different event formats in the past, rest assured that we are excited to bring, excited as ever to bring BlizzCon back in future years.
Yeah, so, cut in and out all the time.
Mm-hmm. So over the next few months, we'll be sharing more details about our launches coming up later this year, including World of Warcraft, The War Within, and Diablo 4's first expansion, Vessel of Hatred.
Oh, it's my favorite Disturbed
album. And they said there will
soon share exciting plans for other industry trade shows like Gamescom.
Could make it this year.
Still have looking forward to Overwatch Championship Series, DreamHack Dallas, DreamHack Stockholm. So they'll be at other events, but no BlizzCon this year.
They got nothing.
I've never been to a BlizzCon. I don't know if I want to go to a BlizzCon. I don't really.
I'd rather go to a WasabiCon.
Yeah, WasabiCon. Ooh, this is a good one. This is a fun one. Jackbox Games is looking to heat things up this summer by releasing the Naughty Pack.
Love it.
The first M-rated Jackbox game.
Oh, no.
That's shocking.
They teased on their website this week. Not a lot of details other than there'll be three games coming out which will bring, quote, spicy surprises this summer.
Sweet and spicy.
Apparently, they said that there's been a lot of demand to release a more adult version of this game. Apparently, Jackbox is supposed to be a game for children. Who knew?
I think it's supposed to be maybe an all audiences game. But I think we're definitely in the crowd where we, you know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure since Jackbox 2, you've been able to draw shit. So that kind of immediately,
you know.
It was like when you could make like apples to apples.
Yeah.
Like, funny.
Yeah.
And then the
Cards Against Humanity came out. And like, this is what you really wanted the whole time.
Yeah.
So the official blog post on the Jackbox site notes that the Jackbox Naughty Pack has been requested by fans for a while now, with actual comments from Jackbox Games social media included in the post.
What fans really want. It could just stop you for a second. A launcher.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the fans don't want separate executables for 10.
I have a folder just for all 10 of my Jackbox games.
You want a launcher.
One, do it. That would be really good. Some remark that they, quote, only play the game with adults when they're drinking. So an adult version would be fantastic. While others saying they didn't realize Jackbox was a family game to begin with, and they've been, quote, playing it wrong.
I honestly, like, again, you don't know Jack wasn't, like, you know, the most tame of games.
I mean, it was always like, just irreverent trivia.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It always, like, kind of toeing the line a little bit. So it knew what it wanted to say.
So now, instead of like, us just making a dick joke, it can also make the dick joke to us.
Yes. It was always giving you the alley-oop, right? Like, so it was always passing it to you to make the joke that it knew you were going to make in the first place. So just cutting out all pretense at this point.
I wonder if that's going to be more or less funny. Because to me, it's when you like make the appropriate thing inappropriate, it's funny. But when you have an inappropriate thing and you're also just inappropriate, I don't know, it loses some of its luster.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to play it and find out.
It's like kids want to just eat an entire box of cereal.
Yeah.
But should they?
Yeah.
I know. Well, that's why I'm an adult and I can do it anyway and then just regret all those decisions later on.
Yeah. Like smoking an entire carton of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Final piece of news I have this week. I don't know if you've been following automotive news.
Oh, always.
Yes, I do.
But I think Tesla just recalled all of their Cybertrucks.
Yeah, like 40,000 of them.
So, bad news for people who also have the Mario Kart Ride-On Racer, because it is being recalled
for
the same reason the Cybertrucks are being recalled, because the gas pedal gets stuck.
Oh, no.
Well, that's good in Mario Kart.
What is being recalled?
I think it's that little thing. You know that that Photoshop of you on the little kid driving the Mario Kart?
Where I'm actually riding.
Yeah. That thing.
That's a real thing being recalled.
Yeah, like an actual thing, physical thing you can ride.
Power wheels.
Yes,
basically.
Children are
it's Jack Specific.
Okay, Jack's the people that make the plug-in thing.
So it gets stuck at like 6 miles an hour.
8 miles an hour. Oh. Yes. And it all.
You should be able to run at least 31.
It's my new number.
Yeah. According to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, the firm has received 65 reports of incidents of debris-clogged pedal sticking, of which 15 of the vehicles crashed into permanent structures with one minor injury, a chafed hand.
Oh, my God.
So they were recalling 17,500 of the Mario Kart Ride-On Racer due to this acceleration pedal sticking issue.
Well, I'm glad I got my son the police Jeep.
Yeah. Actually, probably more dangerous.
But at least he's got qualified immunity.
The cool thing about his police Jeep is it has a remote, so I can control it as well.
That's actually really smart.
Ooh. Yeah. But yes, this
Power Wheels-esque vehicle, first launched in October of 2022 for $400.
What is it now?
No idea. It's zero.
Probably the same. That's how much the police Jeep was.
I should know if it got discounted because it's a death trap and could chafe your hands.
Man, see, I grew up, I had a Ninja Turtles van that I could drive around when I was three.
I grew up with a go-kart.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
I had that.
I had that like red and
yellow thing that you drove like your Fred Flintstone.
Yeah. Your feet are in the
like
bottom.
Like the play school car.
You guys were going outside.
You guys didn't have chains on your door.
Yeah, I remember the little seat that like you just like shook back and forth and it kind of went forward.
That's just a chair.
Oh, that's a chair. Oh. It's you at the dining room.
Sorry,
table.
I'm from across the river. We had some weird things.
We went out to dinner the other night, and Neil was like, I'm writing. And he's just rocking in his chair. They ask us to leave.
And that's all the news I have for today. Okay. John Michael, it's time to move to your favorite part of the show.
Watching Neil ride. Let's go.
New releases. This first new release, I think, sets a record for the most platforms as part of this new release announcement.
Oh, is it? I don't know, man. Because back in the 2000s, you know, there were things that would come out on like 7 or 8 platforms.
Well, since we've been
here, you go.
Podcast. All right, let's go.
All right.
April 30th, which is Tuesday, today, you can play Braid Anniversary Edition on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series S and X, Nintendo Switch, PC, Mac, Linux, iOS, and Android.
That's a lot.
Damn. That's a lot. What about Game Boy Advance?
It's not listed yet.
Okay.
But with the power of friendship.
And not on Xbox 360.
I'll use Bleed. Oh.
Well, you have to go just... You just have to go play it on Xbox 360.
So you mean to tell me between The Braid and The Witness, there was like 7 years. And since The Witness, it's been like 8 years. And all I get is Braid again?
Again.
Can I get a witness?
Remember we went to that like...
I'll be right there.
Remember we went to that Xbox after party thing? After like my first E3, and like you could play Braid, and it was like those people.
You could play Braid? Yeah, I think that's where
where I played Braid for the first time.
I just sat there and drank, and I think I beat all of like Bastion.
Oh, am I thinking of Bastion? Were they both
That's
there?
What I played.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking of Bastion.
I feel like I'm watching some video of Braid Anniversary. I feel like the original version looks better. It just looks like it has like a filter.
Like they tried to do too much.
No, it just looks like it has an AI filter over the animation, you know?
Yeah, because the first one had kind of like a pixelated painted look.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
This one just looks smoothed over. Like, you know when you download a Super Nintendo emulator and there's video options in there to make the pixels smooth, but
and
it's
it
not...
doesn't look good.
It doesn't. It never looks good.
The pixel perfect thing.
I mean, it is cool that more people will have access to Braid.
Braid
10 different platforms.
Yeah.
If you haven't, you should watch Soulja Boy's review of Braid.
Soulja Boy
great.
Soulja Boy, tell him?
Get him on the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone tweet at Soulja Boy and let me know. Like,
yeah, all right.
What's he doing these days?
we should let him know that Braid is coming back out again.
Get really excited.
He should do another review.
Soulja Boy, get at us. We know you listen. Yes. So.
There was a really funny video circulating the other day about Soulja Boy talking about how excited he was to have his like headset on his 360. And he's talking about how important it is. You got to have a headset so you can talk to the people. He's like, he's really into it. Really passionate about his online gaming on the Xbox 360.
He does love his video games.
Yeah.
He did make that console.
Made that whole Soulja Boy console.
His review of Braid, he gives it a glaring review.
Is it glaring bad?
No.
Glowing review?
Glowing maybe?
Glaring sounds bad.
Glaring sounds bad. Glowing sounds bad.
Oh.
He loves Braid.
More than glowing.
Front Mission 2 Remake coming out on April 30th on PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, and PC.
Nice.
That's cool.
Okay, that's cool. I didn't know they were remaking that.
They remade the first one a little while back, a year or two ago.
So they didn't go straight to 2, is what you're saying.
No.
Yeah, they remade 1 first.
Good choice. Good choice.
These games were 3. Like the Front Mission games were always really cool, like on the PlayStation, and there was one on the DS. If you just want like a tactical turn-based mech combat game.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Ooh, looking at this actually came out on Switch last October.
Oh,
and it's coming out on everything else now.
Well, I think
there you go.
Front Mission 1 came out or 2?
Front Mission 2 Remake.
Oh, it came out on Switch.
Yeah, I think it came out
October.
Switch a while ago.
And your last new release for April, Sea of Thieves, coming out on PlayStation 5.
That's not new at all.
We will not be discussing
it's
that next
new
week.
On PS5. Man, Sea of Thieves was like cool.
Like $20?
At first for like
this is PC.
3 hours.
No. Okay.
Like playing with other people is really neat. I think they've done it, added a bunch of new things to that since I first played it, which was at like Xbox release. But back then it was cool to like play and mess around some, but not enough to like keep you coming back. It's like when you play a VR game, like that was really cool for like that hour, and then I'm never gonna play this again.
I'm also never gonna play it again for the first time.
May 2nd, you can play Endless Ocean Luminous on Switch.
So cool.
Cozy game. You know,
yeah.
You just want to go deep sea diving and exploring. Yeah. There's no combat or anything. You're just swimming around.
Is it a Wii game?
Yeah, there were two of them on the Wii.
And now it's on Switch.
Is this a new game or a third game?
It says Endless Ocean Luminous.
I think it's a third
game. Yeah, I guess it's a new game for Switch.
Yeah, I guess it's the new one.
I don't know. Like, swimming around in an endless ocean to me sounds really stressful and scary.
No, that's
right?
The other one.
Not when you say cozy game.
What's the other underwater
Abzu?
Game?
Abzu.
Abzu.
No,
Dave the
one
Diver.
More
Dave the Diver.
That all the kids love. I don't know.
Death at Sea.
Minecraft.
I'll figure it out later.
Genshin Impact.
Indica coming out on PS5, Xbox Series, and PC. It's spelled with a K.
Oh.
Madison coming out on PlayStation VR 2 on May 2nd.
Subnautica was the game.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, okay.
Madison, is that a FMV game?
It's a PSVR 2 game.
I thought that came out. I thought that was the one about James Madison. We talked about last week.
Oh, well, yeah, we did.
You can
James Madison. Got delayed.
Yeah.
This seems to be a camera scary game. So you're taking Polaroid photos of scary ghosts.
Yes. James Madison, the first president to be photographed.
Yeah.
That's true.
It might have come out on another VR headset recently.
It just says Madison VR, even on Steam, comes out May 2nd.
I don't care what John Michael says. I am 99.9% sure that is not the real James Madison.
So Madison, non-VR, came out July of 2022. And it was just a first-person spooky game.
Spooky game.
Now this is the VR version. So
bloodiest games.
You want to have an excuse to pull the VR set out.
You're right. Rated M for mature. MotoGP 24. Coming out on PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
They forgot to release this one in 23.
And your final new release for the week, Surmount, coming out on Switch and PC on May the 2nd.
Just by hearing the name Surmount, I think it's like a horse racing game, but it's not. this is not it. There's like multiple games called Surmount. How do you spell it?
Surmount, developed by Jasper Opera.
Mountain climbing adventure?
Published by Pop Agenda.
What is
it's a platforming game on Switch and PC.
Like something being difficult, like a surmountable odds. Insurmountable odds, I guess.
That's it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, I see this
game. It's like Guap.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Quap.
Yes. Guap is the band where they wear costumes.
I thought Guap was like what you get on the side of a quesadilla.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's extra for Guap.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
So, yeah, it's like crazy physics co-op mountain climbing game.
So, if we did Extra Life, it would be that.
Fling yourself into a mountain climbing adventure. Become the first to reach the top of the highest mountain in the world to meet eccentric characters along the way.
Mount Guap.
Yeah. It's single player, so it's definitely not. No, it says co-op.
It says one and two players.
Ice Climbers.
Yeah. Just like Ice Climbers. It's the modern. Oh, there's also costumes you can get.
Oh, good.
You can wear a horse mask.
Hope they don't censor.
You do need that for the cold.
And that's it for your new releases this week.
Hooray.
If you want to email the show, you can. GameWareExpress@gmail.com is that email address. No new emails this week. So email us, GameWareExpress@gmail.com. Steven's back, so send him an email specifically
to him.
Mm-hmm. Only to Steven.
What's your favorite Alan Wake game?
What's your favorite Resident Evil 4?
GameCube.
Done.
Nice. Because of the kidney
buttons. That's a short answer.
Yeah, it's the one you don't have to look at the
controller.
No,
because we've talked about this before. Just listen to that episode.
I think we talked about it in the greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
That'll do it for this week's show. You can find GameWare on Facebook, facebook.com/GameWareBR. You can also go to GameWare.com and buy video games, and we will ship them to your house, and you don't even have to go on Roblox to do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you don't even need an API.
You can even do store pickup.
That's true.
You can also follow me on Threads. I am at Adam Arender.
I am on Threads at JM Carly and Blue Sky at Earthworm JM.
You can do yours this week.
At Steve Gameware on things.
I'm on social media at Vanillala. That's like vanilla, but with an A in A E, an extra la at the end. Did I say that right? Vanillala. Yeah, I said it right.
You know it.
And you can go to my website also, www.speakingofreneemartin.com, to check out all my voice work and such. Also, just wanted to drop another reminder for WasabiCon coming up super soon, May the 11th and the 12th. That's going to be at the Sheraton New Orleans Hotel in New Orleans, Louisiana. So coming up super soon, and it's going to be a great time.
Come see our panel Saturday, May 11th at 2:30 p.m.
There's cosplay is encouraged at this convention, so come dress as your favorite one of us.
Yep.
Cosplay as one of us. I'll buy you a drink if you do.
Also, stick around for the next couple weeks when Persona 3 Reload spoiler cast comes out. I think we said Sunday, May 19th. I think that's the day now that I think about it.
No way to know.
For that, so you have a couple more weeks to finish up Persona 3. That's all of everyone out there listening, and also some of us at this table.
I'm really close to beating it a second time.
Whoa.
He's going to lap us. I did see you on playing it the other day, and I was like, didn't he already beat this?
I got one trophy left.
Yeah.
I made a lot of progress this weekend that I did not talk about earlier because we're going to have a whole entire spoiler cast for it. But I made a lot of progress this weekend. And now I can slow down a little bit and play other things like Stellar Blade. We also have other things in the pipeline still. Slowly, finally getting to reveal some of those. So we are now on Spotify. We're always on SoundCloud. We've always been on Apple and Android, iHeart, but now we're on Spotify. So if that's where you like to listen to things, that's where most people like to listen to things these days. We are there. And that is it. We'll be reporting back next month for Snackware Express from the Sonic the Hedgehog food in Katy, Texas.
That'd be great.
And I'm done trying to extend this. Steven, glad you're back.
Thank you.
Hope to see you again next week.
This is the last episode I'll be on.
Oh, no!
Popping in.
RIP.
You know, Renee, John Michael, Neil, as always, thanks for joining me again.
I think every time you say the word pipeline, you should play the Mario pipe sound effect.
That's perfect.
Just do, I should just do that one
yourself, honestly.
Just cut that and put that in.
Secret talent you have.
Everyone out there, thank you so much for listening. We really couldn't do this without your support, so we definitely appreciate that. Come see us at WasabiCon. Email us, GameWareExpress@gmail.com. And be good to each other out there. We'll see you next week.